And toward that end, we began a series this year on the church, God's plan and our part. And we're looking at each week, this is week number 4 in our Sunday morning series on the local church. What's the church supposed to look like? And I'm so glad to be here at the Liberty Baptist Church this morning. I've enjoyed the service thus far, and I look forward to coming to church on Sunday. I love this place. I love the people in this place. I'm so thankful that God has allowed us to serve and to be a part of this church. But what's a church supposed to look like? What is God's plan? Because let's be honest, there are all kinds of churches out there. There are all kinds of different religions and different beliefs and different styles and different personalities and different flavors and all kinds of different options. And so we have to figure out at some point what is the church that is pleasing to God. Because if it all just comes down to what you like and what I like, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, then we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping ourselves. The church isn't about what I think it should be, and it's not about what you think it should be. It's about where did it come from? And that first week, three weeks ago, that first Sunday of the new year, we looked at where did the church come from? And the author of the institution, the church, was established by Christ. And we looked through every Sunday morning, we've been looking at a lot of different scripture, and whether we turn there or we put it on the screen or recite it. But we saw the author of the institution, Jesus Christ, established the church. This idea of church is not a man-made idea. This was instituted by God Himself. And we saw the author of the institution. And then we saw, where do we get the authority for our institution? What should the church look like? What should we be doing? What should we be focused on? And the authority is from Scripture. And we saw that in week number 1. The second week, that was really an introductory week. The second week, we saw the first characteristic of a biblical church is that of an exalted Savior. And that's when we introduced the theme for the church of we preach Christ in Colossians 1:18, where the Bible says He is the head of the body, the church, that in all things, as it relates to the church, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Christ is first and foremost. He is the chief cornerstone, the Bible says. He's the head. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is the foundation upon which the church is built upon. And again, going back to sometimes, if we're not careful, we fall in love with our idea of church. We fall in love with our way of doing church, as opposed to falling in love with the author of the church, which is Christ, and the authority for the church, which is the Bible. And we saw an exalted Savior. I want, at the Liberty Baptist Church, I want it to be all about Christ. That song we just said, it's about, I had not heard that song before, but I enjoyed that because it's about His name. It's about Christ. And I want what we do to be pointing to Christ, pointing people to Christ. We're going to have different events in our church, and everything that we do should have the idea of, as a church body, us trying to preach the name of Christ. And sometimes people hear that, we preach Christ. Well, I'm not a preacher. That just means to proclaim, to let people know about Christ. And so we saw an exalted Savior. And then last week, if you were here, we were in 1 Corinthians 12 the entire morning, and we talked about a unified body. And you remember I started the message off with that illustration about my big toe. My daughter's been teasing me about that all week long. She said, "You told the church about your big toe," and then she just starts laughing at me. And she said, and then she'll walk by and say, "Is your big toe okay?" And she's been making fun of me all week long about, she found that highly amusing that I decided to use an illustration about when I broke my big toe. Wasn't that a pretty cool story? I mean, I was the hero of that athletic sports story in high school there. And we talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 the need for unity in the church. And we won't take too much time to review it, but you go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and it talks a whole bunch. We're many members, many, 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 one body, one body, one body, many members, one. And all throughout this idea, God has put all of us here and we need to be unified. And we looked last week, the command for unity, the path to unity. You appreciate your role in the church, or accept your role, I should say, and appreciate the roles of others. And then we saw the effect of unity. When a church is unified, fighting the same enemy, fighting for the same cause, believing the same things, when we're unified, we can accomplish great and mighty things. The body of Christ, when it's healthy and unified, can move forward in a great and a wonderful way. And so we talked about that last week, about the importance of unity in the church. And we looked at many different verses there and studied some things specifically in 1 Corinthians 12. But I gave you a good number of other verses on God's commands to the church for unity. And God, but I want to say this morning now, God's plan for the church goes beyond just unity. It's not enough for us as a church just to be on the same team, on the same side. It's not enough for us just to be cheering for others on the team. There might be some sitting in this room that would say, I agree with last week's message. I am unified with what the church is trying to accomplish. I'm on the same page, hoping for the same things, hoping for the same outcome. I'm cheering our pastor, and I'm not here to criticize, and I'm not here to analyze. I'm here cheering on the pastor and the folks that are serving and our staff. And boy, I'm all for what is taking place here at the Liberty Baptist Church. I'm all for what we're trying to do, and I want our church to have all the success in the world. And so I'm unified, and I hope you are. But it goes beyond just unity. It goes beyond, it's not enough for us just to be unified as a church. He calls us as his church to more than just unity. It's not enough, and that is not God's only plan that we're unified. He wants us to do more than just be cheering for each other, that we're doing the same thing. Let me illustrate with a few pictures, and I don't know if this will be a good illustration for you, but it makes sense for me. Americans love their sports, don't we? We love our sports. In fact, in 2 weeks, we're going to have, we talked about this on Vision Night, we're going to have Tailgate Sunday. That sounds a little weird, but 2 weeks from today, it's the day of Super Bowl Sunday on February 7th, and we told you on Sunday night on Vision Night that you can wear whatever your favorite sports gear is on that Sunday morning, try to have a little bit of fun, create some memories for the families, and we're going to do that. And then after church is over, we're going to fire up the grills out there and bring a cooler, bring some food together, and we're going to enjoy a time of food and fellowship, and then we'll stay together there and have a brief service there at the end of that. We're going to have games out there for the kids and competitions and maybe the adults as well, punt, pass, and kick, and maybe a jump house and some different things. And we're going to do that. We love our sports, and I'm looking forward to that day. It'll be a fun day, I think, and we'll have the morning service and then lunch and then that afternoon, and we won't have an evening service there because we'll do that together in the afternoon. We love our sports. We'll get crazy for our favorite teams, and we wear our favorite team gear. And let me show you an illustration, the first picture I think they have up there. And here's somebody that loves his team. He is unashamedly a fan of the Pack there. He cheers for his beloved team and an unashamed, what they call cheesehead, there from Wisconsin. And in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field there in Wisconsin. And there he is, and he's excited about the game. He comes to the game cheering on. He's ready. He's invested. He's unified. Let me show you the next picture is totally different. And here, this is a different picture. These folks are actually on the field playing. They're actually on the team. And we can put that third, that's the split screen. Let me ask you, we have the fan. We have the players. Are they unified in their allegiance, yes or no? Sure they are. Are they both cheering for the, are they both hoping for success for the Packers? Some of you are like, why did you pick the Packers? Is that just for the Packer fans to rub it in that they lost last week in overtime? So that's not why it is. If I was trying to rub it in from last week, I would have chosen the Seahawks to remind all the fans that the Seahawks lost last week because I'm a 49er fan. But that's not what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to rub it in for anybody, but I did want to mention that the Seahawks lost last Sunday. Are they unified? Thank you for that. Amen, Brother Javen. I appreciate that. And the 49ers didn't even make the playoffs, so we'll have to wait till next year. But are they unified in their allegiance? Yes, they are. They've got they both put some energy and effort to get there. They're both pulling for the same things. But may I ask us another question? Are they both making substantial impacts on the outcome of the game? I would say probably not. As much as we as fans like to think, you know, and we're staring at our TVs and we're yelling, do this and do that, we're really not having much impact. Even if we're in the stadium, we're not having that much. There's two totally different things going on here. Now, they're both on the same team as far as cheering for the same cause, and they're unified. They both want the same outcome. They both want those things. But there's a difference between being at the game and in the game. There's a difference between cheering for the team and being on the team. There's a difference between watching what happens and making things happen. Both of these support the same cause, but one has fully invested his life into it. He's at the facility every day working out and watching video and doing. He's fully invested in the outcome of the game. The other, they put the effort in maybe one day a week to get there and to cheer on the rest of them. One is on the sideline. One is in the middle of the action. One is hoping for a positive outcome. One is giving everything he has to influence a positive outcome. One celebrates the accomplishments of others. One knows he gave everything he could for the good of the team. One is a spectator of the cause. The other is in service, if you will, for the cause. You see, which are we? We have to answer this question as it relates to the work of God. And I'm not trying to be too irreverent. I use it as an illustration. I think we can all understand. Of course, I understand that the work of God is far more important than any athletics or any professional sports or anything of that nature. But which are we as it relates to the work of God? Are we simply spectators? We're unified. We're on the same team. I'm cheering for those that are out there trying to make a difference. I'm glad my pastor's up there preaching, and I'm glad there's folks out there teaching the kids, and I'm glad there's some people in the nurseries, and I'm glad that we ran some buses this morning to go pick up some. I'm glad there's people out there that are on the field trying to impact the outcome of the game. Are we spectators, or are we in service? We need less spectators in the church and more servants. This morning, the third characteristic of a biblical church is that of a serving team. The first week, an exalted Savior. The second week, a unified body. But we need to go beyond unity. Now, if we don't have unity, if we're not on the same page, fighting for the same things, believing the same Bible, it doesn't matter how involved we get in service, because we're going to be going all which direction. We've got to be on the same page. We have to be unified. But as a church, God's plan goes beyond unity, and it goes into service. God's plan for His church is a serving team, not just a large number of spectators cheering on a few servants. And I'm gonna show you that from Scripture in a few moments. I enjoyed yesterday. It was such an exciting day. I had such a great time. Our church family, many, and I know that some couldn't make it for one reason or another, but many in our church family came out, and we had advertised about the Los Angeles outreach for a few weeks. And there's a new church beginning next Sunday in Inglewood, California. One of the men that was at our missions conference is planning a church there, and we're supporting him on a monthly basis, he and his wife and their family. And yesterday, we just announced it for a few weeks on a Sunday and put it in the bulletin, and we got a full bus. We packed out an entire bus and took 4 or 5 carloads, I'm guessing 65 or 70 people from the Liberty Baptist Church gave their Saturday, and the bulk of their Saturday, we left about 9 and didn't get back till I think almost 3 o'clock, and gave the bulk of their Saturday to go to another city that is never going to have any direct influence on our little club here, our little church. We're not going to have any visitors from what we did yesterday probably ever come here, but we went and passed out thousands and thousands and thousands of invitations for their grand opening, and I was able, because of the giving of God's people, I gave this church planner and told him, on behalf of the Liberty Baptist Church, we want to give you $1,000 check to help with some of the expenses for the opening of your new church. And it was so exciting to me. Why? Because as a church family, we said, we're going to get off the sidelines and we're going to get into the action. And we accomplished more in that day than he could have accomplished in his entire week if he was out 8-10 hours a day. That's the difference between one person serving and a team serving. And he's been working hard, but the Liberty Baptist Church, we were able to cover blocks and blocks and blocks, and every house got an invitation to this new church. And we saw, I know of at least one person that came to Christ yesterday in Inglewood, and maybe more than that. But we had some folks that said, we're going to be a team that's going to serve and preach Christ. It's not enough for us to say to that man, hey, we're glad you're starting a church in Inglewood. We're cheering for you. We sure hope the Lord blesses what's happening. And now we can't go over there every weekend, and that's not where God's called us. But we can have, and there might be times, is that we can have an impact financially and say, we're not just going to, we hope that God meets the needs. You know what? The Liberty Baptist Church is going to help support to help God meet the needs. And we hope that some people pass out some tracts. You know what? We're going to go, at least we can give a Saturday before you launch, and we're going to go over there we're going to get off the sidelines and get into the action and get there helping him, off the sidelines to help him. We're not called to be a unified but sideline church. We're called to be a unified and serving team. You are not just to be in the same pew wearing the same uniform as your fellow church member. You and I are to be fully involved and committed to the cause and the commission that God has given to us. That is the only way that this church can truly impact our area and can truly impact eternity. Every member must be a minister. Every member a minister. All of us finding, as we saw last week, it might be one's the hand and one's the eye and one's the foot and one's the big toe, if you will. We saw all those members last week. And everybody, what you can do for the church is different from what I can do, and what God's given you the ability and the passion and the gift to do is different than what I can do. But guess what? If I'm the only one working here at this church, it's not going to be a very good church. There's not going to be much getting accomplished here at this church. And if I'm not working and you're the only one working, we're not really going to accomplish much. And that's why God understood where he likened it to a body. And there are many members. And all of us have our role to fill. All of us have what God wants us to do. It has been wisely said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. The church will have a far-reaching impact as we are all involved in service together. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher of yesteryear, said, "Nobody can do as much damage to the church of God as the man who is within its walls, but not within its life." That's a convicting statement. We're within the walls of the church, but are we within the life? Is this our church? And we are all fine. For every person at every age and stage of life, how you can contribute is different. And there are some that can serve in the area of prayer, and some that can serve in the area of giving. Some people have that gift of giving far above their tithes and their offerings. And some that can serve in the area of music ministry and children's ministry and preaching and teaching and helping and cooking and greeting. And there are all kinds of ways, and being a witness where you go, and that's your way to be a service is in your neighborhood. You're a witness there and at work. But all of us, we don't just come to church within the walls, but we truly get involved and immersed within the life of the church. Would you turn with me? I want you to see scriptural support regarding God's plan that the church be a serving team. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. God has not just called us to be a unified body. He's called, if you're a member of this church, he's called you to be a member that is involved in service here in our team. We're going to look at a good number of verses here if you'll follow along. Romans 12. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there should be one in the pew in front of you. You can follow along with. Romans chapter number 12, beginning verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," talking to saved people, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You present your bodies a living sacrifice, "holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," see the word there, "service." Verse number 2, "and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," that is seriously, "according as God hath dealt to every man," notice this, "God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." He gives everybody different abilities, different gifts, different roles to accomplish. Verse number 4, "for as we have," what are the next two words there, church? We have what? "Many members in" what? "One body." Now again, it's talking about the church. Many members in one body. "And all members have not the same office." Everybody doesn't do the same thing. "So we being many are" what? "One body in Christ." Again, going back to unity. "And every one members one of another." We can't make it. I can't make it without you, and you can't make it without me. That's how God designed it. Verse 6. "Having then" what, church? "Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," if you have that gift, let us prophesy. What is he saying? Use the gift you've been given in the body of Christ according to the proportion of faith. "Or ministry," if you have that gift of ministry, let us wait on our ministering. "Or he that teacheth," use it in the body of Christ on teaching. "He that exhorteth," and some people have that gift of exhortation. They're encouragers. Or "he that exhorteth" on exhortation. "He that giveth," that's a gift. Now, all of us have a command to give, but there are some people that God has given the spiritual gift, the grace, the Bible calls it, of giving. And one of the greatest ways they can impact the cause of Christ is with their giving. "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth," God gives that gift of administration. with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And we could do a whole series on spiritual gifts, and we may. Verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Notice again what it says, speaking here to the church of God, the people of God, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. What are those three words? Serving the Lord. God's plan for his church is a serving team. Too many churches are like the guy, the cheesehead there, that they're there in their seat. When it's game time, they're where they're supposed to be, and that's good. I'd rather have that than an empty stadium. But this is more than, and they've got the uniform on. And they're cheering when it's time to cheer. And they say amen when it's time to say amen. And they pay the price of admission, if you will, to get their ticket to come sit there. But we have too many that are there on the sidelines. And God said, I gave you gifts and abilities and passions and interests and talents and resources. I've given you things in your life. And the reason I gave them, we saw it last week in 1 Corinthians 12. He tempered us into the body. He brought us there for his glory. It's for his pleasure, for his purpose. I gave you those gifts for you to use for the work of God, for the body of Christ, for the cause of preaching Christ to the world. Notice verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, continues on. It's a very rich passage here. Patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. What is this? Do you get the idea? We're not supposed to be looking at our needs, just looking for the needs of others. We're supposed to help our fellow church members. And we're supposed to be given to hospitality and friendly and family. And this is, we're a serving team. Great teams, they accomplish a whole lot, because great teams, it's not always because of the talent, it's because of the love. You talk to anybody that knows about success in teams, and when teams really take that next step, it goes beyond talent, and it goes to they are living for each other. They are playing for each other. Love your teammates. You'll hear great coaches talk about love your teammates. Why? Because there's something that happens. There's an effectiveness that happens in a group of people when we take our focus off of ourselves and we say, how can I use the talents and the abilities that God has given to me, and how can I use it for the good of the team that I'm on? How can I use it for the good of the body that I'm a part of? And God's plan, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God's plan is for you to have an area where you use what he's given you for his glory. Glory here within the church. Verse number 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I mentioned that last week. Be of the same mind, unity, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, always looking for how you're right and somebody else is wrong. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now notice verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, do what? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And then verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What is he telling? What is he telling the church here? He's telling them, get involved. Love people. Forgive people. Get along with people. Serve. Use your gifts. Weep. Rejoice, help others, care about others, forgive those who have hurt you, work, serve. The thing of being a part of a church is an active commitment, not a passive privilege. It is work, it is service, it is a responsibility. We have turned the American church too often, I believe, and we talked about this a few weeks ago about the preaching the right gospel. We've turned it into a prosperity gospel and a consumer gospel. We've turned it into, it's all about what you can get from the church. God's people, may I say, and this is true for me and my family as well, we are not called to this church for what we can get out of it. We are called for what we can pour into it. We are called not how people can serve us. We are called to this body for how we can serve others within the body and outside of the body. That is what God has called us to. The call to be a member of a church, according to God's plan, is the call to be a contributor, not a consumer. And all of us, when we contribute, we find out, give and it shall be given. That's God's plan. When we live for others, we find out that we get a whole lot out of the church for ourselves. When we find ourselves involved in service, somebody talked to me today and said, man, it was so awesome yesterday. thank you for letting me, for doing that. Thank you for letting us come and help that church out. When they gave their time to service, they received a blessing beyond what they expected. And so when we find out, when we service, I talked to our staff and I said, you know, we were talking about this new member in here and this person, are they interested in serving here? And this member talked to me, they're interested in serving there. And I reminded our staff, when we talk to folks about them serving, don't get the wrong idea. That is not something we're doing to people. That is something we're doing for people, allowing them to serve. And I say the same thing for me. This thing of service and of giving myself is not something that I have to do. It's something that I get to do, because that is where true fulfillment and significance in life comes, when we serve others. That is the call to be a Christian. That's the story of the gospel. What's the story of the gospel? That Christ humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a what? Servant, the Bible says. The story of the gospel is that God loved you enough to serve you and to die for you. And what then is the effect of the gospel supposed to have in our lives? If we understand what he did for us, the gospel should cause us to love people enough to serve them and live for them. The story of the gospel is that God loved you enough, Christ loved you enough to humble himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, to come and die for you. This idea, not consumers, but contributors. Unfortunately, many churches today, it's all about what we can get, not what we can give. That's not God's plan. He has given you gifts, and he wants and expects you and I to use them for the furtherance of the work of God. James in chapter number 2, you don't need to turn there, but verse number 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The spirit, that is what brings life to a physical body. And when the spirit leaves, the body is dead. The Bible says faith without works is also dead. Earlier in that chapter, James, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say," listen to this, "though a man say he hath faith and have not good works." Now don't get ahead of me and don't start thinking I'm preaching something that I'm not. We talked about a few weeks ago, I'm not preaching a works gospel. I'm not preaching you have to work to earn the salvation. But let's not miss what Scripture's teaching here. He says, "What shall it profit if a man say he has faith and hath not good works?" What good is it? That's James chapter 2. Then it says in verse number 15, it says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled." So you know somebody that has no food and clothes, and you say, "I hope you have a great day, and I hope that you get some clothes and you get some food. I'm cheering for you. I'm on the same team as you. I'm unified in my understanding that you have a need, and I really hope somebody meets that need." He says, "What profit is it? What doth it profit?" And he says, "If you tell them that, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" What good is your faith if it never impacts anybody else? What good is your faith if it never works its way into service at your workplace or in your neighborhood or in your local church or in our community? What good is our faith? I believe in God. I'm on the same team. But we're never actually trying to affect the outcome of the game, if you will. We're never actually trying to make a play, if we keep the sports analogy. I sure hope somebody makes a play. I sure hope somebody helps that missionary that needs to get to the field. I sure hope somebody tells my neighbor about Christ. God called us to be a serving team. Verse 17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." That's a powerful statement. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18 in James 2 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." He says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." You believe in God? You're doing good. And then he says, "The devils also believe." So what makes us any different? Our works. I'm going to get in a minute. Again, don't understand. I'm not preaching a works gospel, but our faith. And then he says, "But wilt thou," verse 20, "know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Now let me make it very clear. Our works do not lead to our faith. Let me say that again. our works do not lead to our faith. There is nothing you can do today to earn God's love or favor. There is nothing you can do today to lose God's love or favor. God loves you. God cares for you. He sent his son to die for you. There is nothing, our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. There is nothing that you and I can do today. Our works do not lead to our faith. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to give money to our offering. You don't have to come here for some certain length of time for God to love you and accept you into his family. That's not how the gospel works. God loves you no matter what you do or don't do. God loves you. That's the end of story. Our works don't lead to our faith, but scripturally speaking, our faith is supposed to lead to works. That's a Bible principle. I don't do what I do to earn salvation. I don't do what I do to earn his love. I do what I do because of salvation. I do what I do because of his love. My faith leads me to works, not the other way around. Ephesians chapter number 2, talking to the church, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He makes it very clear, you see it there, that you're saved, you go to heaven, you get eternal life through faith in Christ. It's nothing you can do. It's the gift of God, not of works, because if it was of works, we would say, look at me, I earned my way to heaven. But then notice the very next verse that we sometimes leave off, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We've got to get rid of this consumer Christianity. We've got to get rid of this casual church involvement where in our lives it's just about what the church, well, I'm not being fed, well, I'm not, well, who are you feeding? Well, the church just isn't meeting my needs. Whose needs are you meeting? Well, I just don't know about this or about that. We are not called what we can get from church. It's how God can use us in the body and our gifts and our unique abilities and our unique personality and our unique resources and our unique relationships to further the cause and the gospel of Christ. That's what God's plan is. His plan is a serving team. Someone said, if a person in your church is not building friendships within 6 weeks and involved in some capacity in service within 6 months, very likely they will not be faithfully attending in 6 years. And I know there are exceptions to that. There are people that have been in churches for years and they really don't know anybody and they don't serve in any way. But generally speaking, that's pretty true. If you're not building relationships, God's plan for the church is fellowship, friendship, relationship. If you don't have any relationship in the church and you don't have an area of service in the church, very likely you're not going to be faithful in the church for an extended period of time. Very likely. Now, I know there's exceptions to that, but that's God's plan. Fellowship and service, God's plan for the church. God's plan is a serving team. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift," and it goes on and tells it basically to use your gift, and it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. God is glorified when we use our gifts in his church. Jesus Christ was our Savior in this area. Mark in chapter number 10, verse number 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Christ was the example. He didn't come to get, he came to give. He didn't come to be ministered unto, he came to minister. Why has God used Liberty Baptist Church to make a significant eternal impact these past 39 plus years here in Orange County? Because there have been a team of people throughout the history of this church that have said, this is my church and I'm going to get involved doing what I can do for the furtherance of the gospel. And that might be doing some construction work around the property, electrical or building or plumbing, but God's given me that gift and that tool and that ability, and I'm going to use it for the furtherance of the gospel at the Liberty Baptist Church. And that might be some cleaning or some maintenance, and it might be singing or teaching or cooking or greeting. It might be a ministry of giving or of prayer. It might be somebody that gives far. I know some people that give up to 50%, not necessarily in this church, but I know other Christians through the years that give up to 50% of their income to the work of God and to missions and things of that nature. And everybody can't do that, but God does give special people that grace of giving and that gift. And that might be where it might be the folks that come down to volunteer here at the office throughout the week. And there are hundreds of people in this church, literally every day of the week, throughout a week, there are hundreds that are using their gifts and their abilities and their passions and their talents. And because of that, we have a church that has had a far-reaching impact. And today, the impact of the Liberty Baptist Church goes around the world through our worldwide missions program because of the giving and the prayers and the labor and the efforts of God's people here. And guess what? If we could increase the amount of people involved in service in their local church, we can increase the amount of impact this church makes in our Jerusalem and around the world. God's plan is an exalted Savior, a unified body, and a serving team. It might be those that give their Saturday mornings to invite people to ride an old school bus to church. This church isn't great because you've had maybe a great pastor or some pastors that led you or a small group of committed members that were willing to serve. It has been greatly used because there have been hundreds of people on a weekly basis willing to invest, willing to serve, willing to give, willing to love, willing to go, willing to sacrifice, willing to pray, willing to love. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. This is written to the church. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a command. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Using what God gives me in His work, in His body. I'm a member of the body. I might be the elbow. I might be the nose. I might be the ear. But I have a role to play, and I have a job to do, and God's given me a gift and talents and abilities and resources. And God wants me to use them for His glory. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:58. In 2 Corinthians, as one of our Republican presidential candidates said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15, for the love of Christ, the Bible says, constraineth us. Because of his love, verse 15, we judge that He died for all, that they which live should, listen to this, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We are not called to live unto ourselves. We are called to live unto Him who died for us and rose again. That's written to the church at Corinth. We are called to live for Him, to take what He has given us and use it in the body of Christ, our resources, our gifts, our finances, our abilities, for the furtherance of the gospel. That's not just my calling because I've surrendered my life to preach the gospel. That's your calling, and that's every church member's calling, every Christian's calling on the face of the earth, is to use what He's given us for His glory within the local body where He plants us. You say, that is a really long introduction. You haven't given us any points at all this morning. I don't have an alliterated outline. I actually don't have any points this morning. I have two questions and we'll be done. Two questions to ask you with all of that in mind. A long foundation and a long introduction. God's, the whole point of this series, the church, God's plan, our part. God's plan is that every member has a function to play within the church. And that goes beyond sitting in a pew cheering on other people that are doing the work. That doesn't mean you might not be able to give 8, 10, 12, 16, 18, 20 hours a week to the church. I don't know where God has you and what you can do. But I do know if God has you here, there's something you can do, because that's what the Bible teaches. That's His plan for you to be. And so I have two questions and we'll be done. Number one, are you actively serving God through the local church? That's God's plan. Are you actively serving God through the local church? May I say, if you're not, and I don't mean this, I'm not preaching at you. I hopefully am preaching for you and for myself. This was convicting my own life. You're not enjoying God's beautiful, perfect plan for you as a part of the body. By the way, before service comes salvation. Before you worry about using your gifts in the local church, you need to make sure you're a part of the body of Christ. You know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're here today and you say, I'm not a member of the church. I'm not even a member of God's family. I don't know for sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven. Trust Christ as Savior before you worry about doing any work in the local church. Before you worry about praying anything or giving anything. Before you worry about any of that, make sure you know Christ as Savior. But for those of us that are saved and we're united as a part of this local church, are we actively serving God through the ministry of the local church? And I'm not here to list all the ways that we can do that, but there is a way. You say, I'm really not. God, there is an area and a way that He wants you to be. And if you're interested and you want to, talk to us. Let us. It might be that you don't ever come down to the church. The way that your health works, your schedule works, your transportation works, it might be something you do from your house. There is something you can do for the body of Christ actively on a regular basis, every one of you, because that's God's plan. Number one, are you actively serving God? We have Starting Point coming up in a few weeks. That's a class we do for new members and folks that are new to the church. Why? One of the reasons, to let them know a little bit about us and to help get them finding an area of service. Number two, The second question, how can you increase your level of service? This is not meant as guilt or manipulation. This is a question I asked myself this week. Because too often, I use my gifts and my talents and my abilities and my resources for me. And as I studied this, God, you want me to be abounding in the work of the Lord. God, you want me fervent in spirit serving the Lord. You want me to use what you've given me for you in a greater way, but grow in grace. I need to grow in those areas of the gifts you've given me, how I can get more involved. It might be that what areas or opportunities to serve here in our church. It might be for some of you, the way you can increase your level of service is to attend additional services throughout the week. And again, that's between you and God, all the things you do or don't do within the church. But every time you come to church, there are more opportunities for you to serve your fellow Christian. There are opportunities for you to encourage people, to pray with people, to talk to people, to encourage folks. There are opportunities for you to learn, and you do get some things out, hopefully. I hope my prayer is when you come to church, you get something out of it. But not just to get something. Every time you come to church, you get the opportunity to give to others as well. I'm praying right now that very soon we would see 10 new choir members. Maybe that's an area that you could increase your service. I'm praying, we talked about on Vision Sunday, we would see 3 new bus drivers get their license to begin serving maybe once a month or every other week, serving, driving a bus for an hour or two to bring in boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads to church that otherwise couldn't come to church. I'm praying we would see 10 new bus workers. I'd like to start a new bus route. Right now we have 2. I'd like to see us running 3 buses to this area, bringing in at least 100 people a week that otherwise wouldn't be coming to church. That's what the body of Christ is called to do, to reach out to preach Christ. We're not going to start another bus if we don't get some more bus drivers, some more bus workers, and somebody willing to say, I'll give the money to buy another bus. But if maybe, and everybody isn't supposed to do any of those, all of those things, but maybe God's working on your heart for an area you can increase your service, and maybe it's serving on a bus on a Saturday or a Sunday. We could use 10 new nursery workers right now to serve in one service a month. I'm wanting to start a new ministry and hospitality workers to begin what I'm calling a VIP concierge ministry, basically parking lot and greeters at a tent for visitors when they come to have somebody that will welcome them and show them around the property. But we need people that would say, hey, I can serve in that way for an hour on a Sunday morning. We need more prayer than ever. If this church is not praying, this church will not be effective. We need people that would say, I will make it my ministry to pray. And every day I will pray, and you give me the list, Pastor, and I'll pray for you and your family, and I'll pray through the church directory, and I'll pray for the needs of the church body, and I'll pray, and my ministry is that I'm going to do spiritual warfare, and I'm going to take it serious, and I'm going to pray for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or a half an hour, maybe an hour a day for the cause of Christ here. Right now while I preach, every service on a Sunday morning while I preach, there are men in a room in this building that are praying right now. Why? Because the work that needs to be done, I'm not strong enough to do it. We need God. It's not my wisdom. It's not my voice. We need God to work and move in here. And it might be that you can increase your area of service and prayer. It might be an additional orchestra member. Maybe you know how to play an instrument. I love our music program. I'm looking to see it only continue to grow and develop. We could use some more sound booth workers, people that have an interest in doing something like that. We could use new children's ministry workers, especially on Sunday morning. And we have some faithful folks that do that, but more people. We could use people, additional givers. And I know it gets a little touchy when you start talking about finances and money, but that's a part of God's plan for the local church. And last Sunday night, we voted to increase the church budget by 10%, and the church voted that through. Over 98% voted that through because of the needs of where we're at with our cost increasing and the additional building we've added and all of those things. That's great to vote it through. Voting it through doesn't make it happen. All of us have to, is there something more I can do in that area? And that's not a pressure. That's not a manipulation. That's if God puts that on your heart, giving above and beyond the tithe and the offering. We could use folks in maintenance and repair. It's a large property with many buildings. There's always something going wrong. I could keep going on. Those are just some things. As I thought about areas right now, our church could use some more team members serving. And the list could go on. That was just giving it a few minutes of thought. Now, guess what? I'm not doing all those things, and I'm not going to be doing all those things. And nobody in here can do all those things. But I can increase my area of service a little bit, and so can you. And if we do, guess what? The influence we're having now will expand to the level that all of us increase our involvement. I heard it said, great vision without great people is irrelevant. We can have all the vision we want, but if God's people, and they are at this church, it's a wonderful church, but if God's people in a church aren't willing to get behind the vision and serve and do their part, nothing good is going to happen. We can have all the desires and all the hopes and all the dreams in the world, but we need to get out of the pews and onto the field and start putting in the work, and that's it. That's the message. God's plan, our part. His plan, a serving team. Are you serving in the local church? I'd like, if you will, take your bulletin there. And if you have the bulletin with you, and with that list there on the screen, I might ask you to consider, if God, as I preached, if God spoke to you about an area of service that, with God's help, and this is not a lifetime commitment by you writing this down on the connection card. You're not, you know, I promise that I will be at the church volunteering 80 hours a week for the next 30 years. That's not what I'm saying. But if there's an area that you say, God kind of spoke to me, and there's an area I think I could be a little more involved in the church, I'd like to pray with you about it. And you say, I wouldn't mind if it's a specific ministry, like the bus ministry, the person that handles the bus ministry, I wouldn't mind them contacting me to letting me know what's involved in getting my bus license. If you don't mind somebody contacting you, put maybe something like this down. And I would like for you, when the offering passes in a few moments, to drop this in. And I would like to pray with God's people about what area you might consider where God might be able to use your gifts and your talents and your abilities, and maybe one of those would spark something in your thought, or maybe it's another area. And please, for anybody that's here, if you're doing this out of guilt or manipulation, don't do it. This is not, you're not doing this to please me. This is me trying to give the truth of what God wants for his church and for all of us. If we just sit here and hear all of this, and I agree, we don't want to all be the fans in the stands. We need some players on the field. I agree. I sure hope somebody else listened to that. We all wasted our time here this morning. And so the reason for the call to action is for us to actually see if God has worked and if God has spoken to our hearts and there's something that we would pray about God allowing us to do. I'd be honored if you would maybe fill that out, and when the offering plate comes out, and you can put that down near the prayer request thing. And here, Pastor, pray with me. Here's an area I would love to see a greater level of service or involvement in the team that God has called me to here, the church, the body. Consider your gifts, your passions, your abilities, and then ask God to help you to use them for his work and for his glory. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody here this morning that would say, when you talked about that idea of our works leading to our faith leading to our works, there's never been a moment in my life where I trusted Christ as Savior. I can't worry about getting involved working at the church. I'm not even a member of the family, the body of Christ. I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up so that I can pray with you? You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I'd like to pray with you. Would you raise your hand and you can put it back down? I'd just like to see it. Let's stand together as the piano begins to play. Maybe you'd like to come and pray that God would continue to use this church. This has been a wonderful church filled with hundreds of servants that aren't just sitting on the sidelines, but say, we want to have a part. Our family is involved in praying, in serving, in giving, in loving, in helping. And I want to stay involved, and I hope that others will as well, you might say. And with the altar open, maybe you want to spend some time in prayer here at the altar or there at your seat. If you'd like somebody to pray with you about a special need, we'd be honored to do that. We have pastors here at the front. Ladies that can pray with a lady, a man with a man, if there's somebody you'd like to come see. If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Don't leave this room this morning without allowing somebody to open God's word and show you the powerful, life-changing truth of the gospel of Christ. Someone here might say, you don't understand my health situation. I can't do any of those things you listed on that screen. If you're alive and you're a part of the body of Christ, I don't care your age, your health, you have something, a way to contribute that God wants to use here within his body. I firmly believe that because I believe that's what Scripture teaches. If we're alive, all of us have a way to contribute to the cause of Christ. She's playing that song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee, that we might henceforth live unto him that died for us, not unto ourselves. You want to enjoy church a little bit more? Start serving a little bit more. It'll be amazing how much you'll love it. You want a little more significance in your life? Start loving people in your neighborhood. Start caring and praying for your coworkers. When we stop looking at our needs and start looking on the needs of others, it's amazing what God does in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that I would have delivered it in a way that was pleasing to thee this morning. I pray that your church wouldn't feel badgered or hammered today, but God, they would feel encouraged and challenged. May all of us be encouraged and challenged by those commands that God, our faith leads to good works. Because if we say we believe and we make no impact, what good is it, God? Help us to carry these thoughts with us, and God, to seek what specific ways you want us to be involved in the furtherance of the gospel this week. I pray that we wouldn't be just hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word today as well. Help us not just to listen to this and agree with it, maybe. God, help each one of us to live it and to act upon it, is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen.